Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
So it turns out our minds, our lives, are mostly an adventure in habit. We tend to repeat things. We tend to trust things that occur to you as valuable. Hopefully the valueless you toss out the window, the valuable you teach, you rehearse, you learn, become a part of your life. The valueless you learn not to do, not to think. So there are patterns of thought in the human mind. Patterns of thought that are so trusted, so believed. You could call them laws. Laws. Now, as long as it's true, you're good to go. But you believe something, and you know something that's not true, you'll be operating part of your life on illusion, on lies. Lies that you're telling yourself. I've said many times, the problem is, you know something that's not true. That's the problem. And so you follow it blindly. Self-fulfilling prophecy, another common pattern of mind. As you think it, so it is. So you keep reinforcing what you believe by how you, keyword in A Course in Miracles, perceive. As you see it, so it is. So, A Course in Miracles uses this word interestingly and carefully. That's laws. So, I just want, let's spend a few minutes to put your mind in that space of thoughts, the power of thoughts that you believe are laws. They're just true. That's just how it is. Okay, let's just think around that a little bit.
What was the question?
What are laws? There's a law of gravity. Why do we call that a law? Thoughts that are believed to simply be true, so they're not questioned. Why would you question what you know to be the truth? You wouldn't. You rest when you know the truth and you move on to something you don't know. This is a pattern of mind, a pattern of thought in mind. Let's call it laws. What are they? What is a law? Why would you call it a law? If you want to go spiritual, think about the law of love that we talk about here so much. Why is that called law? Does a law bring you peace or bring you chaos? What is the problem with a law held in mind? What's the benefit of having a law? Do you have any laws in your household? Any rules? Why? Is there a benefit to understanding the law of gravity? Or why is the law of love the bottom line? And finally, to share with the room, if you wish, choose just one word or one phrase. Choose one that makes a law a law. What's an attribute of a law to share with the group? David, what's something... What makes a law a law? What's an attribute of a law?
A law is the things that we think is true.
That we think are true.
Yep,
it's known. Very good. Bridget, what makes a law a law?
It you can't dispute it.
Ah. Can't dispute it. It's not really discussed, is it?
You go to court.
You can.
You get a good attorney.
Well, if you can
pretty rare.
It, prove it, then you get a Nobel Prize.
Not as rare as you think.
Compared to
these
how many
days.
Times it's tested.
Yeah.
It's rare compared to how many times any law is tested. Take that stop sign out there. That thing is tested constantly. It's not discussed very much.
I don't like the law of love. I don't know. I think of love is... I don't think it's a law.
Oh. Julie, what's the law of love?
As you give, you receive.
As you give, you receive. In the Course in Miracles, that's the law of love.
That is?
Yes. In the book states that that's the law of love.
Oh. Because I have that, as you give, you receive, was the attribute of the law.
But what? How did you come up with that? I mean, it's like you wrote the book. Well, good. It's all swimming in your head. All the parts are swimming very close to each other in your head. This is good.
And they'll connect.
One day they'll connect. So that's the law of love, comma. The book also calls it the law of mind. As you give, you receive. It's a law because you can't question it. Because it's true. Look, it doesn't matter what you're giving. If you're giving fear, you get fear. Whether or not you share... or not. The minute you think of fear, you're getting the fear. The minute you think of love, you're getting the love. Whether you share it or it's received or not.
That's kind of a cool law in a way because the truth is you give love and receive love.
Yes.
You know? And we can give fear and receive fear, but since all of that isn't real, all that's left in the end is love.
Yep.
So we can use it everywhere in the world of crazy insanity.
Yeah.
And it's useful. And
well, there's a truth about giving.
Yeah.
There's a truth about sharing and a truth about giving. You can't actually give fear.
Yeah, same.
You can't share fear. You try really hard with a horror movie, but some people laugh their way right through the whole thing.
Yeah, it's kind of, you can use it in so many different ways,
but the love
part is the end result.
Yes.
And that's what makes it really powerful.
Chevrolet did a commercial about a truck. They did a series about the Chevy truck. And lo and behold, as you showed people trusting their truck and the truck doing all this work and then getting old and then parked in the side yard and then a new truck coming in and the old truck not being driven, they made this whole commercial emotional. And it won awards for being, pulling a little tear.
I have a question.
Yep.
It's the law of love.
Yes.
Is about love.
Yes.
And it's also part of the law of mind, which is what you give, you receive.
Yes.
So the question is, how can giving hate or fear...
Yes.
Be a law of love, be part of the law of love.
Because it's in the mind.
But why is it?
Fear really isn't real.
Hold on now. No need to go there. Oh, it's true enough, but no need to go there. Because your whole life, whether you're hating or you're loving, happens in your mind.
Well, I get that part.
Well, if you get that part, And when it calls it the law of love, it also calls it the law of mind. It also calls it the law of spirit.
Of what?
Spirit.
Spirit, okay.
Well, that's what I'm getting. How can you be giving fear and getting fear and that be of the mind and of love?
Excellent question. And that's because you are on a journey without distance, Luann. You're on a journey that its end point is at the beginning. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? A little Zen, maybe? But you know this is true. You're never actually dealing with separate entities when there's one mind.
Okay.
When there's one spirit that's everywhere all the time.
So then giving hate and receiving hate gets you eventually to the end and the beginning.
When you hate something.
Mm-hmm. It's a call for love.
According to the book on page 217, thank you very much. 217, paragraph 13. Hate, fear, guilt, any of these things is a call for love in, this is a quote from the book, unconscious recognition of what has been, the love that's been denied. The reason why I hate is I don't feel loved. That's why I hate. You don't just hate out of the blue. Nobody wants to hate.
So that's the obstacle. That's the obstacle. Because thoughts leave, not their source.
It becomes the obstacle to getting what you really want. But it starts to feel good, like any drug.
Yeah.
You take the drug, you have the poor thought pattern, because you think somehow it's a cheaper, easier, quicker way to get what you want than any other method. It's very innocent. Hate is very innocent. It's ugly, cause damages, it might even get you in jail. But if you look at the source of it, where it came from, it's very innocent. It's
words,
a culprit, yeah.
In other words, we're using the law of love to make up a fear, an illusion of fear. And all it really is love anyhow.
Yep, you're using the law of mind
using
to either make
laws
love
to
or hate.
Stuff that absolutely doesn't exist.
Yep.
It's not real, never could be real, so it's
yep.
still the law of love.
Some of those it's called a miscreation.
Yes, a miscreation, thank yeah. you very much. It's exactly right.
So I guess I think what you said that hit me as truth is if, since we're calling out for love all the time
yes.
in our mind, then,
yes.
then the law of love does apply to whatever we do.
Yes.
Whether it makes us feel peaceful and loving or whether it makes me feel hurting because I'm hating.
Yes. It's the exact same power of mind that would make you feel horrible. That would make you feel wonderful.
Okay. So everything is actually of love in a sense.
Everything is of love. This is what we call Christ's vision in this book. When you understand what you just said with full excitement and experience even, that's what's called vision or Christ mind.
It also explains why when I read in the book or hear or feel that God knows me as innocent,
yes,
then I can feel hate. I don't feel hate usually,
sure.
but I
sure.
can feel fear or whatever. And I know that I'm still innocent, and all I have to do is figure out what's causing me to do that versus...
Yes, Luann. And you can even accept yourself when you're hating as still fully loved, because after all, that hate is just a way to call for love. And how innocent is that? Like any child cries sometimes because they can't get what they want. You're just crying. And the loving parent does not dismiss you for that.
Right. I can see it in children. And then I'm seeing it sometimes in people.
Yeah. And again...
And when I'm in a state of fear or anger or whatever.
Yes.
Shame.
Yes.
Mostly shame.
Yes.
I can say, well, God loves me no matter what.
Doesn't matter what. Because you are an extension of God, so this book says.
Yeah. Okay.
You're just having a nightmare.
You're not kidding.
Having bad dreams.
Yeah.
That's all. Okay. You bet. Isn't that nice? You can take the ugliest things in the world and see love behind them. That's actually possible, honestly. Well, I mean, either there's good and God, or there's bad and evil. There aren't two powers that are competing. Another great thing to meditate on. If you just take that away and just try to figure out what I said is true, just take that into meditation until you fall on one side or the other. I mean, you will teach yourself so much.
You know, one of the things that I knew before I started this book, and always loved to do, mm-hmm. was find out when I was feeling any negative, what I would call a negative emotion, where it was coming from, and what I needed to do to relieve it.
Yeah.
So what I love about what the book says about that is take the hidden things, which is what I was doing before, but I was getting answers from inside me, but that's what the Holy Spirit is anyway, so I figure I was, now I'm realizing I was getting them from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that I can bring that to the Holy Spirit and it disappears.
Yes.
And so when I'm doing something that feels like I'm loving, but I'm not sure it's loving,
yep.
I go inside and ask the Holy Spirit, is this loving?
Yeah.
And I did that with a client today because she was a mess. Mm-hmm. And I was doing something that felt right, but I wasn't sure if it was right. And she had to go to the restroom. So during that time, I stopped and asked the Holy Spirit, is what I'm doing the right thing? And I got a yes answer.
Yeah. And when she came back into the room, mm-hmm. the first thing she did is check with you, just visually. Your shoulders were down. Your patience was on your face because you knew you were being loving.
And I knew that there was not much else I had to do with her except just stay that way.
That was the communication, Luann, not the words. Mm-hmm. That was the communication, not the words.
Okay.
Good.
You.
You're welcome. Good. Kenny, what makes a law a law?
I have my answer for that right now. Can I give it?
No.
No.
Thanks for asking. It was very, very nice of you.
So I went several different ways, but one of them was that my laws are like a tort. They're a common law.
Okay.
So I take them to my judge, and I find out that I'm guilty.
So you find out what the law is after the fact.
Yeah.
When the damage is
done. Best way to find out about the law, right?
Better to ask for forgiveness and permission.
Yeah.
Hey, that way you're not guessing, you know?
Yeah.
But you can interpret
that's
that.
Just one of them.
Couldn't you interpret that as bringing what you're doing to the Holy Spirit and saying, I need help with this, or is this real where you want me to be, or what? Couldn't you interpret what he just said as being that true?
You know, the way I looked at it is, you could. The way I look at it is a bit more free. You're not looking for limits.
Looking for what?
Not looking for trouble. Not looking for limits.
Yeah.
You kind of live from your heart, and if you find out it's not right, well, okay. What's the damages? It's kind of a free way to live. Interesting. Julie, what makes a law a law?
I was actually pretty distracted during the meditation, but since then I would say that it kind of, a lot of times the laws sort of fade into the background. Hmm. So
yes,
they're just
do.
This thing that's you're operating within, but you're not really attentive to.
Yes. Tell me about the law of gravity. Why do we call it the law of gravity?
It depends on what answer you want. It's proven, it operates all the time.
It operates all the time. It goes into the background, isn't completely unchallenged. You don't.
Here we go. Here we go. Okay, that's your proof. Nobel Prize?
Right.
This is a tricky thing about laws, is they're so darn simple. You know, that's why we call it a law, because it's so provable. It's so known. It's so unchallenged. It's so in the background. Well, you know that gravity's true. You don't need to question that. I mean, you can measure it here and there with a feather or a rock, but we're still not changing the law. So it's a slippery slope when we move that into spiritual air. I'm telling you that this principle is behind your spiritual understanding of what you are and how you should operate. The book is telling you that the mind does operate under laws, and the only law is true is the law of love, the law of mind, love. As you give, you receive. Look, it gets proven every time you do it. Other than that, how are you going to know? Because it gets proven every time you do it. If you think it's funny, it's funny. Nobody else thinks it's funny, but you're biting your lip. That's because you think it's funny. So it is. Period. You think it's fearful? You think it's loving or thoughtful? It is. To you. Two-edged sword. Often goes very unchallenged. Right. So we're blind, right? The laws are kind of blind. We're kind of blinded by the laws. Yeah. Philip, what makes a law a law?
For me personally, if I violate one, there's often a penalty to pay.
Yes.
So if I violate a law of love, for example, I hurt myself. If I violate, you know, a traffic law,
yeah,
there's usually a penalty.
There's a penalty.
Yeah, as an example.
Yep.
If I violate the law of gravity, I can get hurt.
You can get hurt.
Gravity, though.
Yeah, so ignore the law at your own peril.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what makes a law a law. They're consistent, they're powerful. Yeah, they have consequences. Yeah.
Isn't that the other edge of the sword you just got through talking
Yes,
about?
It is. Thank you. Carol, what makes a law a law?
It's just been proven so many times that you don't even question it.
You don't question it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It just is.
It just is. Yes. There goes your freedom, Kenny. You don't get a break because you didn't know the law existed. It's got consequences. It just is. And they'll say, the judge will say, well, now you know.
Yeah. I got one law. I'm going home with her.
Yeah, you'll behave to these laws.
Ways.
So you don't get the consequences that could be coming. Yeah, very good. Zoe, what makes a law for you?
Well, during the meditation, what came up for me is there's only one law, and that's the law of love.
Okay.
And that's a spiritual law. And so a spiritual law is greater than a physical law in the sense. I don't know how to explain that because I've always been a lawbreaker. Kind of like getting the penalties. And I think that's why in my spiritual path that I really like having just one law.
Yeah.
Is it loving? Is it kind? That sort of thing. And so there, I don't get negative consequences. You know, if I'm loving...
Teach us the law of love, according to A Course in Miracles, if you know it.
Well, she said it.
Yes. Say it to us. Say it again. You can't say these things enough, because the ego will rub them out like the wake behind a boat. As you give, you receive. As you give, you receive. Or you can say it, as you give, you receive. Or you can say it, as you give, you receive.
Yeah, all those ways.
All those stress words are in italics.
Right? Each time you say it, stressing a different word, You can sense the meaning of what we're talking about here.
No matter what you give, you're going to get it.
That's right! That makes it a law! But only every time.
Only every time.
Alright. Luann, tell us, what makes a law for you?
A law is anything that brings me back to God.
Oh, yeah?
Which is everything.
So you're going to follow those laws and none other.
I want to follow those laws.
Good. Good.
Whether I'm going or not, I have. But I don't think there are any laws that doesn't get me back to God, because you just got through saying, well, Julie turned it around a little bit, but you just got through, I mean, so it means the same thing. You just got through saying, no matter what I am doing, it's a call for love, and therefore it's going to get me back to God.
That's right. The only answer to a call for love is love.
Any law that gets me back to God, love, or the
good.
Law of God.
Good, good. Mary, what makes a law for you tonight?
Well, I'm feeling very confused about this topic.
All right.
There's the kind of law where there's general agreement.
Yes.
That most trees have green leaves or something that seems apparent to everybody.
Yes, yes.
But then there are laws that, personal laws, or may I call them beliefs?
Yes.
That I have acquired because of experiences that were, that I perceived as hurtful to me.
Yes.
And so then I start making a law to protect myself from that.
Yes.
But now I'm heading down the wrong path altogether.
Not really. You know you're doing great, because each time you're relying on this law.
Yes, but it's excluding. It needs to be turned around the other way, because there was not forgiveness or something. So I made a law based on some kind of insane behavior.
Yes,
say.
Yes, you did.
And then I followed it.
Yes,
because
you did.
It seemed to protect me from the insane behavior.
Yes, mm-hmm. You did.
See,
it seemed to protect you. Because it had consequences if you did it again.
Oh, yeah. I don't want that.
So you know what? Let's make a law. You do not drive on the wrong side of the freeway anymore. Or you don't swear at somebody who has a hotter temper than yours. It's just not worth it. They get hotter than you would ever get, and you just set it off. Let's make that a law, right? So we will choose these things to protect ourselves. Yeah. It's certainly. This is what we're talking about, how we get drawn in to believe things that aren't true. Out of innocence. To protect ourselves from consequences that we think are out there that will come in here. Now, true law just is, right? Somebody said that. It just is. That's what makes a true law. That's what we call law of love, a spiritual law. Because it, you can't get around it. As soon as you think it, it is. Well, there it is. There's that law again. Yes. No, you're on the target. That's what we're talking about. You're right on it.
Yes, but some of these laws are detrimental.
Yes, they are.
I mean, maybe.
Can I get an amen from the group? Amen. Some of these.
I treat it as a law.
Yes.
But in fact, it turns out that it's biting me.
It turns out it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's some kind of a fear-based, artificial limit.
Arbitrary
limit you've placed on yourself.
Yes.
Oh no. How long have you been believing this? How long have you been holding yourself back from being free with this arbitrary, artificial limit of mind? That's what this book is for. Mm-hmm. Lesson 236. I rule my mind, comma, which I alone must rule. That's where I got that saying of mine that says, your next thought is your life. It is.
You create it, you get it.
You bet. That's how powerful you are. Yeah. So, no, this is exactly what we're doing.
is we're realizing how powerful our minds are. And first you might swear a bit when you think about all the lost time and the ruined relationships and the things that you said or did or believed and all the bad mornings you woke up repeating the same thoughts that you don't want and never did. That was unnecessary. So at first you may be a little angry. But then you should be very grateful. Because that kind of busting the ego leads you to love, peace, joy, sharing, simplicity, rest, patience, gentleness, open-mindedness, all the things you really want. It's the same power that was holding you back. We're here to cure that. We're here to cure those miscreations. That's what this book does. John,
what makes a law a law for you?
Well, I try to define these questions so I can get them straight in my mind. But the law would be an operating principle within any system.
Yeah, good.
And what does it make? How? So just it's what we take as real. It's a belief about the nature of our reality.
Yeah.
So it's inevitable that we must follow these laws.
Yes. Something inevitable. I like that word. Something inevitable. It's kind of like a law, isn't it? Ignore it at your own peril, because it's inevitable within a system. I love that. It's really good.
You consider the purpose of Jesus' words, for instance, in the book.
Yes.
When he says, or when it's said often again and again, God's will be done.
Yes.
Then it's inevitable we're all going to return to the peace and love of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that sounds like the underlying law for the book.
Yeah. And it says God's will is done.
Yeah.
We're waiting.
That's what I was going to say too, because something you said made me think of it, that those laws, right, they're, what I love, the sentence in the book is blocks to the awareness of love's presence, and the point there is that love is already there. And
yes.
It's just like this block. So it's really, there's nothing to do but let that go. It's like you don't have to find love. It's already there.
Yes.
And joy. It's
yes.
The same. I've definitely experienced that. Like just that awareness that it's omnipresent, but I am choosing not to experience it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And you are so loved and permitted and cherished, you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can deny it.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome, kid. Come home for dinner, though.
Stay for dessert.
Yeah, you want to see that law in print? Everybody turn to the introduction. It's so good to see those few words in the very front of the book before we dive into tonight's paragraph. It's on page 1, which is 2 pages before page 3.
There's no number on it.
Now you're confusing.
Well, there's no number on the bottom of the page. But I was not showing off my basic math skills. You really do. So, David, would you read for us the entire introduction?
Okay. This is a course in miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. The Course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
Thank you. Beautiful. Nothing real can be threatened. Turns out that's a law, spiritual law. Nothing unreal exists. Turns out that's also a spiritual law and a physical law. Nothing unreal exists. See, Course in Miracles is so redundant in so many ways, isn't it? How many times a paragraph we've seen him say the same thing 4 or 5 times in a row?
Yeah.
It sounds like he's saying something different until we look at. He's just making a very important point that he knows your ego does not want to hear. Because your ego believes something else. In fact, your ego knows something that isn't true, so it automatically does not challenge it. It just slips into the background unchallenged. Nothing unreal can be... So nothing unreal exists.
What was that they said, that every 100 or so pages of the book could be probably written in less than a page? Because it's repeated so many times.
Oh, yeah, probably there's a single sentence that...
Or you can do it in one page.
Yeah, yeah, that is...
The whole book.
That's the burden of the whole book.
Yeah.
But, however, it's so friendly to sprinkle some more words around it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about that? Because when I read the book and when I do a lesson, it takes me forever to read a paragraph. It takes me 2 hours to read a lesson.
Yes.
But sometimes when I'm reading through the book, as much as I'm studying it, there's a clause or a sentence that I read over and over and I cannot figure out what the hell it means.
Yes.
And so I say to myself, well, I think I'm going to have to just go on and realize I'm not ready for that particular. Is that okay to do that?
Absolutely, it's required.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Anybody who's new to this material or old in this material, and you've done the same things as she's done, which I think we all have done, the book is written in at least 7 levels of consciousness. And if you're level 3 and you run across level 5 sentence, it's going to be gibberish. You're going to wonder, what? It's not even written right, you're going to say. And then 2 years later, you're level 5. You're going to say, wow, this is it. What have you been waiting for? I highlighted something else in this paragraph, but now this is it. See, that's why it's so hard to read, too. One paragraph will have so much teaching in it. It's like, whoa! And it's actually teaching facets of one jewel statement. And you will get the one that you're standing in front of. It'll meet you where you are. So yeah, move on. Let the next paragraph inform you about the part you did get. And you'll say, oh, got it, that's what it's about. You will just then be relieved of trying to understand something that's out of your reach. Until next year.
I literally think of it as like putting something on a shelf so that I am not a body. There's been times where I start to see some truth of that, and I'm like, oh yeah. But there's other times where I'm like, what the heck? And I just put it on the shelf, and I know that it'll reveal itself.
Very good. What Julie just described is one of the key statements of how to do A Course in Miracles and what it's for, and that is to choose peace, to have peace in your life under all circumstances. So you get a lesson 199 and it's really disturbing. Don't do something that's not peaceful. Put it on a shelf. But I do like this next sentence. Go with it. Because your spiritual awakening is very much the kind way to do it is to take the stairs, right? One step after the other. If you're not a good pole vaulter, you should take the stairs. One step at a time. It's kind, it's gentle, and each step empowers the next step. So if you're patient and you take this one step at a time, you'll go 3-4 steps. If you go from one step to the fourth step, you'll probably fall and throw the book out and say, this is garbage. I don't get it. It's not written in English.
I just thought of the reason what David said is true. The reason we get things over and over again is because maybe we've taken another step and we can get to it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Maybe by the end of the book, I'll understand what I missed.
Yes! Yes! It's very kind and generous and rich that way, which is why we can spend entire nights on a single paragraph.
There's certain basic truths are restated as it is throughout the book, Yeah. One of those statements are going to hit home.
Yes. Eventually. Yes. And it feels like, for me, several of these statements touched my heart and my mind at the same time.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't understand what was before, what was after it, the first time I read the book, there was something there that just said, wow, this is it. It touched me.
It felt like truth.
It felt like truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like it was a truth that was a big hug.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, thank God.
I needed that. Yeah. That kept me reading it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's jump to page 432 in the text. Entering the Ark.
432?
Right, thank you. 432 in the text. Sounds like he wants a job.
Yeah, not your job.
432 in the text. And Philip, the book has, it was several different books, you know, different parts, and they were sewn together. So the page numbers start over for each of those sections. Mm-hmm. So there's actually two page 432s, and you're on the first one, all good.
Okay.
Text, workbook, manual are the main three sections that we might discuss. Okay, 432. And Bridget, would you read for us paragraph... Oh, first, would you read for us paragraph one, sentence one, then stop? If this is what we're talking about here, it's another metaphysical teaching of A Course in Miracles in a single sentence. Lay it on us.
Entering the Ark. Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so.
That'll do.
Now where am I going?
We'll just take a breath. And here you read it one more time. That one sentence.
Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so.
What if that's true? Have you ever been hurt in your life? Maybe all the way to tears.
Those statements are always good to believe. Well, we don't really realize that how powerful your mind is, and you really got to understand how powerful your mind is to get out of this.
Yes, you do.
This whole world was created by freaking our mind together,
and it's going to stay there
until we do that atonement.
That's right.
Realizing that it's never happened. It really, never happened.
It's going to stay as long as you think it.
Yep. So when you realize, this is pretty goddamn powerful, let me create this whole freaking thing.
So Jesus is a part of the mind
that
woke up, and he says, you know, before we get started on this, did you know? Read it again.
Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so.
And he cracks his knuckles and he says, I don't know if you like this sentence or not, so I'll put some more words around it. And here's the whole section. But he knows it's true. Do you love the authority that such a simple statement carries? And there's so many of those in this book. That's another thing I love about it, is the sheer authority that it brings me good news. I like that. That means I'm not a victim. That's what it means to me.
Mm.
I may have been hurt, yes. I may be hurt again. But I'm not a victim.
I did it to myself.
Yes, I can undo it to myself, too. Good. Okay. Thank you. And now, would you read paragraph 3 for us?
Your insane laws were made to guarantee that you would make mistakes and give them power over you by accepting their results as your just due. What could this be but madness? And it is this that you would see within your Savior from insanity. He is as free from this as you are.
Actually, so we can get this right. I am going to have you correct what you just read, because it what's coming. So read that sentence again a little more carefully.
Oh, maybe I'm... and it is...
Is it this that you
would see within your Savior from insanity?
Do you anybody remember what we were reading 2 weeks ago? Who's your Savior from insanity?
Holy Spirit.
Oh, that would be such a nice answer. That would make this such a fun book to read. No. No, it's not like that. That would be too easy. I mean, it's true. It's true. What you said is true. But A Course in Miracles is actually to take you where you are. That's the truth. And if you could hear the Holy Spirit that way, it is roses. I mean, really. Life is a bed of roses with chocolate, too. But that's not how we live. We live in hate. We live in fear. We live in judgment. That's how we live our lives. So, I mean, it was pretty tough. That's right. That's where you got it. It's pretty tough. The previous section we did was loaded with all this. And the Savior that brings you your sanity is your brother. The other person that you're having a trouble with. The people really nice to you, no, they're not teaching you much. They're letting you keep your laws of hatred in place because they say, yeah, you should hate that SOB. Me too. I love you. You hate what I hate. We're made to be together. Oh,
true.
That's a special reason.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a loss.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew, that another thing I was noticing when, you know, we repeat.
Yes.
Like we like to reread things.
Yeah.
If you don't think that the ego twists things, as when we read the first time, like you're reading it, you get that, then the words get twisted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As you reread the books, it's really what's happening is ego is being untwisted.
Yes.
And all the nonsense, and as you keep doing, it gets clearer and clearer.
Yes.
Because the ego is being.
This is proof that your mind is moving toward the Holy Spirit. You're hearing your Holy Spirit. Because you'll read a sentence incorrectly because it's very easy. I mean, it's really easy to read that backwards. Mm-hmm. Because your mind has been moving toward the Holy Spirit, toward the true mind, the right mind, to say, no, that doesn't make sense. And you say, I'm going to reread it. Only because my heart dropped a little bit. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't high.
Yeah.
Like I should be. Like I become accustomed to being so high reading the book. And if you read something that jolts you, you probably read it backwards. The first time, forget it. It's all I hope I can understand to get my through the sentence, right? But then you get the jewels. And the jewels come in and start to hit your heart and your mind at the same time, proving their truth, proving their value. And then you fall in love with being peaceful. You'll fall in love with the happiness that sort of enters your consciousness. Then the second time you read it, I want more.
Yeah.
I will have more.
It's like you're getting higher.
Yes.
You're going, hey, this is cool.
Yes. That's exactly
until
right.
And I'll keep rereading until now I can go on to the next one.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah.
Harvesting.
And then after a while you want to go, let's go back and do this whole thing again.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah.
If you just, as you're doing it, like they say, to just read a couple little sections.
Yep.
I just like taking that section, go over and over it. I'll spend a half hour on it, and you're so high by the end of the second, it's just so clear.
Yeah. The gifts just keep coming out of it. Okay, anybody who has the audio, you can put, maybe not on the new one, but anyway, you put it on repeat for the track. Mm. And it'll repeat the same track over and over until you advance it to the next one.
Good idea.
And I've listened to that darn thing, you know, and it's like 6, 7, 8, 9 times until I can almost predict what it's going to say. Then I say, okay, I think I've heard it the first time. Mm-hmm. I go to the next one. It's rich. Yeah. But then maybe I'm a bit of a fanatic, too. All right.
You're so glad.
Yeah, good. Right. I'm glad.
Love to overlook it.
Thank you very much. Woo, okay. Paragraph 3. Your insane laws. Did you finish reading, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Would you finish reading? Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
He is as free from this as you are.
Oh, did you answer that? Who is your savior from insanity?
Your brother.
Right, because he's the one who's showing you insanity of your own mind. That's how he's the savior, because he is the illustration of the insanity in your mind. That's why he has to be the savior, because he's the one that shows you the insanity in your mind. Therefore, he must be the savior. If you don't challenge him, the insanity becomes real. Well, he deserves it. I'll never forgive him.
Okay, then. Look, get in it a little deeper with this. So, you can, I look at the theory behind it, but sometimes you don't quite see the depth in it, you know. But
yes,
yes. Because when you get into attack,
yes,
the whole thing gets thrown in the opposite direction, almost like
yes. It's
if
because
you're looking at what they're saying as yours.
Yes.
Sometimes it starts to get clearer, but it's a little more difficult because you know, but you have to leave that attack out of it.
You bet. We're going to study that on Sunday.
What I'll do with me and Stephanie, if we're both doing the same thing, it gets really easy. I'll get with Rick or Stephanie, and we took one part of this book and started reading it together, and we're like, wow, blown away by the end. But I try to do that with someone who wants to fight and argue, and it's just so difficult.
No, that's excellent, because that's right. It's so important that we get deeper on this, that second half of Sunday is all about that. It's going to be lesson 23. I can escape the world I see by giving up attack thoughts.
Yeah.
Attack is real here. Who are you trying to fool? This world's full of attack and hate and death, and that's what this world's full of. But you need not own that in your mind.
I know sometimes as you go along, there's certain people you can get better at.
Yes.
That's people you get closer to a lot of times.
The closer ones, yes.
So I'm waiting for those to go away.
Yes. See, because the ego's still doing its job. Threw you a bone so you'd stick around and let you handle the easy ones. But the ones, anybody who said, I love you, and you really said, I love you back, those are the ones that can really hurt you. You notice that?
Yeah.
You notice that when they're in the in club, that's what hurts the most?
And you also do the most damage to them.
You can do the most damage to them, and you wonder, why is it those few words I said destroyed your life? What? You bet.
And it's all because of our crazy thoughts.
Yes.
It's all them thoughts in your head that you got to let go. Yes. We always think it's something they're doing, but it's...
And because of... I wish this was a longer word. Guilt.
Yeah.
Right? It just goes by too quick. G-U-I-L-T. The law of the ego. The balancer of all things in the world is guilt. At the bottom of the analysis of all the problems that the world has is guilt. The chief block to the awareness of love's presence everywhere is... guilt. That's why when we study guilt, I think we spent 2 months on it. Well, a couple of parents. Maybe more. 4 months. Page 410.
That's the most. Yeah, that's the thing you got to forgive all the time. That's where you got to really, really get deep into forgiveness.
It's because it's at the essence of the experience of separation. The law of separation is do unto others before they do it to you. I mean, if you don't, you're full. Because guilt is
guilty.
Guilt is real here. There are consequences.
But you can learn from guilt too.
Yeah, you can learn to duck. You can learn to sue. You can learn to hit first.
You can learn to feel guilty about what you're doing to them.
You can learn to feel guilty yourself and condemn yourself for all the harm you did to them.
Exactly.
You also learned to project.
That's so true.
And also very helpful.
Enough guilt to go around.
Exactly, exactly.
Enough guilt to go around and around. A never-ending cycle of guilt. That's the world. That's why A Course in Miracles, and this, you're going to read it, guilt is at the very, very heart of separation.
Because, as you have told us here, it's the very idea that, in fact, I have it on this post-it note, guilt, that something can act on something else, period.
Period, bottom line, end of sentence, end of teaching.
That something else can act on something else.
One thing can act on another. That's guilt. See, you need separation for that to be true. You see... The Buddha say it this way, a knife, as sharp as it may be, cannot cut itself. True? Okay, well, that's true. Now, you got two knives, or a knife and a piece of bamboo. There's all sorts of trouble can happen. A knife in a finger, a knife in a body. Uh-oh. One thing can act on another. Shorthand. Guilt.
I did that to myself the other day.
Did you?
My brother was talking about other people and how ignorant they were and how they didn't know how to be gracious and how they were, you know, and all this other stuff. And it was most of the people in the world. And I thought, oh my God, how can he feel good about himself thinking like that? So I was trying to say, but the problem with that thinking is it doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah.
And then he says, I feel great about thinking that way because it's the truth. So
he'd rather be right than happy.
Yeah. Well, so I decided, well, you know, first of all, by that time I was getting a little riled up, and I said, all I want to do is love him and have him figure out that loving is the way to go. So I have to stop this conversation because it ain't going in that direction.
So, yeah.
So I called my therapist and I said, how do you go about telling people that they would be better off if they were loving? They would feel better if they were loving than if they weren't. And he got into, and first of all, when I went home, I said, you know, this thing says I do not have to change anybody else. So first of all, I shouldn't even try to think I was going to do that. But then he said, there's two things. One has an ideal, and the other one has another ideal. Their ideal is not your ideal. And what you have to do is you have to say, you don't have to have their ideal. It's okay if they have their ideal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, then I can just relax and let him do whatever he's going to do in this life, or maybe the next 100, and worry about what I'm going to do in this life.
And I would add one thing to that for you.
What's that?
Learn to love their ideal.
Learn to love their ideal because it's my savior?
Because he said that will be your savior. That's how he will be your savior. Seek to understand rather than be understood.
Okay.
That's loving. That's loving. Seek to understand rather than be understood. That's loving. That's how you greet somebody who's calling for love with some crazy ideas you think are quite violent to your own ideas. You just kind of fight if you keep saying, no, 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 no. Here's the truth. He's saying, no, 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 no. Here's the truth. You're saying, no, 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 no. Love is the truth. He's like, love? I'll tell you what's really true.
All right. Well, that's exactly what we were doing.
That's St. Francis' prayer is to understand and
yes.
And be understood.
Give me the serenity to, is that the one?
No. St. Francis' prayer is...
Oh,
St.
Yes.
Francis of Assisi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Seek to understand and be understood. That's where I got it. Yes.
That's nice.
and the truth is, it's also the golden rule on this book. It's on page 10. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Wouldn't you like him to ask you, what do you mean, Luann? Tell me about love.
That would have been wonderful.
And then he goes quiet. Let me get some cup of tea because I really want to hear this. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Isn't that the greatest gift is you can give is listening?
Hello?
Listening I do very well. It's giving understanding to what I'm... giving
yes.
approval to what I'm listening to. You can have that belief if you want.
Yes.
And I get it.
Yes.
Letting them know that I understand what they're
yes.
saying.
Isn't that love?
You.
Isn't that love to go all the way and actually see the innocence in what the crazy thing they're saying? That's pretty bold in a lot of conversations. Because, you know, it might end up sounding something like this. Tell me more. Well, all right, since you asked, I will. You might get that if it's a really tough conversation. What, are you listening? You might get that too. Nonetheless, you just lowered your guard, you lowered your energy in the whole conversation because you stopped defending yourself. You stopped attacking what they were saying. they started to feel the acceptance and the love.
If you mean it.
If you mean it.
That's if it's point. Not honest, then oh, it's
that's true. A good point. I had some feedback on that from somebody I was working with in a very tough relationship, and they started parroting these words, and it didn't work out so well. You have to mean it. That's a really good point.
It's a good practice yeah. to get there.
It is. Mm-hmm. Try to... Yeah. Yeah, yes, because yeah. you know where that comes from is yeah. because you saw the value in it.
Yeah. Mm. Just keep trying to listen.
So if you think about what you're trying to, before you say the words, mm-hmm. you think about the value of asking somebody, please tell me more so I can understand what you're trying to say. When you really mean that, they'll hear it. And that is love. It cuts right underneath all the smoke and barbs. It's so powerful to actually provide love when somebody's calling for love.
Like the wall came down.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yes. Okay, good. So that was very important that we understand why A Course in Miracles says your Savior is your ass-holy brother. Emphasis on holy, okay?
But, yes, holy.
But the experience.
I meant to emphasize the ass part.
I was automatically emphasize ass part.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Can we go back and do a couple of examples of that? How you deal with your brother?
Yes.
How the right way. Because that's always becomes difficult sometimes to see that. I can hear the thing, but I don't always see that.
Okay, so example. the first thing is that in order to be real, authentic, you have to say your truth first.
Oh, so you, I say what
yeah.
my truth is first.
Speak it out, man. Once. Thank you. Once is enough. Once is enough. You say it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, you're in a fight. Mm-hmm. Get your truth out once. Now you should start to relax. They'll take it or they won't. This is not up to you. Now you must seek to understand. First, it's Miracle Principle 7. Everybody look at Miracle Principle 7 real quick. See it in writing? This is one of the ways that you jump in and participate and share your love. No, not 7. It is 8.
I was going to say I don't understand. So okay, clue me in because it's page 3.
If by the way, if you don't get 7, come on Sunday.
I will come on Sunday.
All right. So 8. Miracles are healing. Shift in perception is healing. Shift in perception is healing because they supply a lack. Something that's not there suddenly is. That's a shift the miracle performs. Miracles are performed by those who temporarily have more. For those who temporarily have less. And I think if you're in a hot situation, you're probably not ready to jump into providing the lack. So say your truth once. To get your head cooled down yourself. To get yourself able to say, all right, at least I said my truth, but don't go repeating it. Now, go to Miracle Principle 8, and you supply the love that's being called for by the other side. You should be able to start calming down, take a few breaths, and listen to what they say, and try to say back in your words what you heard them say. You offer an example from your interaction with them. Why they could have possibly said that. So they know you're really listening. Otherwise, their anger will get hotter and hotter as you don't listen to them. So you are going to listen to them actively.
Yeah, because I felt like he was becoming less and less convinced that I love him.
Yes. Because he felt like you were attacking him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's not love. That's not tolerance. You weren't showing patience, even though you truly love him, but he kept getting signs and attacked for what he was saying.
We loved him, but not the what he's saying.
Not what he's saying. I love you, but I hate what you're saying. Stop it right now. How could you say that? You're not the loving person I married.
You're that angry.
Yeah. You just don't have to agree.
You don't have to agree.
You just listen, you can repeat back, but it doesn't mean you agree.
It doesn't mean, thank you, it doesn't mean you agree. It just means I love you and I'm listening.
You can agree to disagree.
Yes, that's
no,
true
that's
too.
Not true.
I mean, that's one way to go, but most important thing is that the person felt heard. Now, after they get their whole thing set out, illustrated with examples, you're nodding your head and saying, I can see how you think that. Oh yeah, you know, I did say that, by the way. I did do that, or whatever it was. You admit to whatever you can that's true. It doesn't mean you agree. It does mean you two are standing side by side now, instead of toe to toe. Now if you say, but by the way, you're forgetting some fact, probably, if you are right. Otherwise, you might say, oh my God, you're right, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was yours. I thought it was mine. That's why I took it. No, it wasn't yours, Andrew. I saw you take yours home last week. And now the energy drops fast because the error's been discovered, wherever it lies. But you were never going to get there just fighting out. You're not going to get to the simple truth. You have to internally disarm and listen and understand before you seek to be understood. But that lowers the energy enough so that you can speak and maybe be heard. And you don't speak with your voice raised, you can speak calmly now because you brought them down. You brought their energy level down because you said, I love you and I want to hear what you have to say because I might be wrong.
Yeah, I like that example. The way I was looking at it, I can't remember the way I was looking when I read from the book before it was sounded. Couldn't figure that part out because the books sounded differently. And then I'm reading, I'm well, next he's like bringing up a different issue here, and I'm going, you know, this is different. You know? But that's because a lot of times you get in, you can state, it says state what you are, but yeah, one time is, I don't always do that. You know, that's a good idea. You think you have to do it more. Oh no, you didn't hear me. Oh, this is what I said. But yeah, that's one time would work a lot better.
I didn't say it's easy. I'm telling you, I didn't say it's
and
easy.
And that, you know, like when you listen to other stuff that works, but when I was looking at the book, I didn't quite get that was what they were talking about. But that always works when you remember to do it.
Yes, and it turns out it's very loving.
Yeah.
Very loving.
Yeah.
It forces you to be loving. Your ego would rather fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's those times when someone just says something that you're.
You're right.
You just can't handle it.
You can't handle it. Yeah, it's gonna take a breath and take
I'm
a walk.
I'm being caught off guard.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that happens too. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's just, you know, politics or something.
Yeah.
Just. Stuff and they get wrapped around the axle.
Oh, I hate it when that comes
and
up.
And it's like they're, you know, everyone's an asshole and this is messed up and that, you know.
Yep.
Fucked up.
Yep.
And so to just sit there and go, yep, yep.
Well, I'll tell you.
Or, wow.
Bridget, you ever know anybody who was alcoholic and was already 2, 3, 4 drinks in? What's the use of talking to them when they're drunk?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're talking to somebody drunk when their politics come up, they're well into their drug. They're 2, 3, 4 drinks in to their ego.
What do you do? Get up and leave? Go, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom.
Excuse me, I need to go to Florida. I mean, get out
I'll
of there.
I'll be back in about 3 months.
It depends on what kind of tolerance you have, you know, or what's going on. But absolutely, it's going to do you no good to try to engage that person.
Right, that's...
Now... If you got the if you have to be there with them, you might find it a lot more interesting to let them teach you what they think. It doesn't mean you agree, but I'll tell you, it does no good for you to show them the opposite side when they're that drunk on ego.
So it's kind of like an addiction.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Ego's so
trying to change the subject. Trying to change.
Yes.
Trying to switch the subject.
You bet. Change the subject to something personal to you. As soon as you can.
Yeah.
That'll call in their love to say, oh, what your dog? Your dog's been in the hospital? Wait a minute, forget this politics for a minute. Tell me about your pet.
It's something that's more, you know, it's like arguing about a soap opera or who's right or who's wrong. There's no point in, like, debating the politics of, and I see so many people getting so upset about.
Yeah. Now, if you're also drinking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can have a great time. You talk one side, they talk the other, and it gets really riled up. It's very exciting, very draining. But if you're not all that riled up in that subject, change it. I like that. Change it. Change the subject to something else you share.
That works all the time. I do that anytime I get a chance to.
Amen.
Or if there's an argument, something's all pissed off, and you just, oh, look at this, and you just start talking about something else,
it
and
works.
The whole thing's gone.
It works.
Wow. Yeah.
It works.
That bird. Isn't that,
you know, flying turtles.
And you got that a good
wow.
Thing,
Andrew. Yeah, the worst thing for me, though, is when they're talking politics and it's something I agree with. And then we get, I get all riled up because eventually I'm saying, I don't like this feeling.
Yes.
Of being angry at so-and-so or not liking what's going on about this or that.
Yeah, my cue is when the conversation, the word Hitler is mentioned. I go, oh, wait a minute. I better change the topic. Because, you know, it will always happen. No matter what you're talking about, whether it's laws in the street, the courthouse, or politics, or eventually somebody gets around to making a comparison to Hitler, and I think, okay, this is going, I better think about changing the topic. Isn't that funny? Mm. I heard that. There's like the, somebody put a name on it. The Reynolds, Reynolds Law, something like that. On any heated subject, you can only go 17 sentences in without hearing the word Hitler. Something crazy like that.
The one I had the other day was really difficult. My wife was watching TV, and they had this thing on TV about birth control stuff, and they were arguing why women should be, in other words, at birth, the child's being born, they were aborting the child.
Yeah.
Which, so that was coming up. She was listening to that. She was going ballistic about what was going on about that shit now.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, I did not want to get in that.
Right?
She was.
Yeah.
She wanted to talk about it and wanted to meet it, and I didn't even want to get into it.
Yeah.
She's telling me what my answers are going to be for it and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, I was trying to get out of that one. I could not.
Yeah.
But some of those subjects get really heated, man.
They get very heated. That's because she's 3-4 drinks in before the conversation started.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't drinking. It just went.
You know what I mean?
Was,
no. I don't mean alcohol. I don't mean alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean ego. I mean, she's got her mind set very deeply on what's right and wrong. Her judgments and perceptions are all in place. So there's, I mean, she's already there.
Yeah. So there's nothing to do. You can't see, you can't get
so unless, situation. Correct. So unless you're also willing to drink heavily on your belief system, the two of you go at it at an ego level, it's not going to be a fun conversation. It can be a great conversation. But.
So with those, what do you do with those kind of conversations?
That's what we're talking about.
The same thing. First you hear them. Make sure you heard them. And then don't give it any more energy than that. Change the topic when you can.
Sometimes that don't work, though. I do that once.
Remember
they don't want to stop. She will get like way more.
Stay conscious.
And the other thing you do is you join them with whatever they said is true.
Yeah, you can go that route.
One thing's true is that they think it's tragic. Maybe you don't, but you can join them if you believe that they think it's tragic, or it's tragic to somebody. You can go right in there and say yeah, because that's what they're looking for: some empathy, sympathy, joining. Join with them. I have to do this. When I get a conversation with people about the Bible, some real Bible thumpers, man, the fear aspect in there and the devil aspect that they rely on as a guide is very deep in their teaching.
Oh, yeah. Some of those guys really get into it.
If you deny the foundation of their belief, they will not listen to you. In fact, you'll be seen as fighting, or in my case, as first time I did it, you need saving badly. We're going to bring the pastor next time. No, join instead. So I join instead. You start with hearing them, and then join with them in the part that is true. And then you're free to talk about how you see the truth, or my Course in Miracles perspective of what is the devil. After they know that I fully agreed with their perspective on what is the devil, and I understand what they're saying, now we can actually have a discussion. Join. If you possibly can, it's the kindest, loving thing to do. To join. Doesn't mean you agree. But it does mean you'll be standing side by side after too long. And now you can actually have a conversation. Okay, you can continue reading your paragraph. We know who the Savior is, right? It's your brother.
But she knew her before. In the beginning, she gave the right
answer. She did.
Yes,
she
did.
It's 432 in the manual.
In the text.
In the text.
He is as free from this as you are, and in the freedom that you see in him, you see your own.
There it is.
Amen.
Saying the same thing over again. That's how he's your Savior.
For this you share. What God has
given. What do you share? What do you share? Only because we've interrupted ourselves so many times. Freedom. Thank you. You share this freedom. Okay.
What God has given follows his laws and his alone. Nor is it possible for those who follow them to suffer the results of any other source.
That's right. So you share this freedom. Turns out that's a said a short sentence, but it's really pointing out the action of the law of love. The action of the law of mind, the action of the law of spirit. As you share it, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's how you see it, is you share it. So, next sentence says, supports it. What God has given, innocence, love, the desire for love, peace, what God has given, follows his laws. God's laws are as you give, you receive. And his alone. Nor is it possible for those who follow God's laws to suffer the results of any other sort. Because the truth is true, and nothing else is true. Because another law of God is that nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. That's one of the laws of God. And so when you look at this person who's giving such difficulty to your life, and you stand back and apply that law, it does tend to level things out. Take some of the energy off of it. Just that idea that nothing real can be threatened, by the way. And you're real. The part of you that get touched by these simple truths is real. The part that can be hurt is unreal. The part that you're trying to save, unreal.
It's just the belief that about your reality.
The belief you have that's so fragile about your reality does not need protecting. Because it's unreal. If it can be threatened, it's unreal. Get it? Whoa! Page one! Damn!
If your belief can be threatened, it's
right?
Not necessarily true.
What?
If your belief can be threatened,
yes,
it's not necessarily true. It's not true necessarily.
It's on page one anyway. In italics.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Okay, let's go for paragraph four. It lays right in line. I know, two paragraphs. You know we used to do three, remember that? That was before you got here.
No, that was before my time.
We used to do three paragraphs in one night.
That was so easy.
Yeah. Kenny, are you ready for that?
Sure.
Right, bring it.
Those who choose fruit at freedom will experience only its results. Their power is of God, and they will give it only to what God has given to share with them. Nothing but this can touch them, for they see only this, sharing their power according to the will of God. And thus their freedom is established and maintained. It is upheld through all temptation to imprison and to be imprisoned. It is of them who learned of freedom that you should ask what freedom is. Ask not the sparrow how the eagle soars, for those with little wings have not accepted for themselves the power to share with them.
Okay, there's a lot in this paragraph. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hit it in 12 minutes. Were we to do a meditation on this, it would be freedom. What is freedom? How does freedom feel? How does it feel to be in bondage versus free? How open is freedom? How desirable is freedom? A Course in Miracles teaches that freedom is love, and love is freedom. Oh, that's nice, and it's true. You are in this mess you made because you're free. You are in this world of time and space and death, body, mm-hmm. because you're loved, because you're free. It's the same statement. So freedom is a two-edged sword.
Another statement for freedom is you have choice.
Yes, thank you. You have choice. Thank you. There you go. That would be her answer after a big meditation. It's perfect. It's true, isn't it? Freedom is choice. It's you can have negative freedom. Turns out. You're absolutely free to take drugs. You're free to go home and make your own drugs. Mash up the pills from a couple bottles and there you go, you've made a new drug. You're free to do that. It can make you sick, but you're free to do that. You can stay up all night if you want and binge Netflix. I say, you know, Game of Thrones would be okay. Start out with that. That'll really get you to keep you up all night. But you may not feel very good in the morning. But you're free to do that. So negative freedom, right, is still freedom. Positive freedom, of course, brings the positive results. So check out what this paragraph says. It says, okay, those who choose freedom will experience only freedom's results. That's, now that we've talked about it a bit, duh, right? Mm-hmm. And we know there's plus and there's minus. Almost like, you know, like I said, law of your mind. You know, you rule your own mind. Their power is of God. Whoa! You, whether you are a murderer or you are a saint and a provider of charity, your power is of God. You are a creator. You get what you think, but only every time. It's a law. You're so loved, you're given the power of God, and you run your life with it.
So freedom is like the mechanism of the power of God.
Yeah, that's right. Throw the word will in there, and you've got a complete teaching. Okay, their power is of God, and they will give it only to what God has given. Aha! to share with them. Those who choose freedom in the positive sense will experience only positive freedom's results. Their power is of God, which goes either way. But if you choose positive, you will give it only to what God has given. Well, you actually have no choice. You can only give something to what is, what God has given, to share with them. That's what you do when you give, when you share. Nothing but this can touch them, for they see only this, sharing their power according to their will, the will of God. The will of God is indeed share and love. Sharing. Freedom is love. Love is freedom. Love is sharing. Sharing denies the differences. It denies the judgment. Sharing is a willingness to join. And thus their freedom is established and maintained because they shared it. You gave, you received, you receive, you gave. It's a dance in freedom and lovingness. This is because of the pursuit of freedom. This deserves the whole book all of a sudden, this paragraph, doesn't it? It is upheld through all temptation to imprison and to be imprisoned. That's what the ego would do, is try to trap and keep special some aspects. No, that's not freedom. It is of them who learned of freedom that you should ask what freedom is. So it's kind of an obvious statement. But it's of those who are open and undefended, David, that you can listen to.
I've got a question in that. When they talk about, like, the will of God, or our will, and then they talk about which stops when you get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one, they talk about the free will. You know, God's, the freedom of God's will. It's something like when you get to heaven, which has to do with love extending. The difference between those two is what I'm quite...
It sounds like you might have got those a little backwards there.
Well, there's something... I remember talking about two... One is like you got the free will. I mean, you got God's will.
Yep.
And it's kind of... You're free to express that.
Yep.
But there's this... I was reading for it was when you get... But that ends when you get to heaven. You've achieved that.
Well, what ends when you get to heaven... is the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So that
ends. What ends when you get to heaven is a miracle.
Yeah.
What ends when you get to heaven is learning.
Mm-hmm. Then when they were talking about...
So the will of God is that you would find love. That you would find truth. Because it's what you truly are. At this level.
So freedom of will.
Yes.
Is different. And that would be when you get to heaven, because will of God would be love, and so the freedom will be an extension of it. And that's the two different things that they have in that.
So getting to heaven means you recognize your will.
You recognize what then?
Your will. And you recognize... I'm slowing down because these are such short, powerful sentences. Your will and God's will are the same.
Yeah.
That's heaven.
Yeah.
I like to shortcut heaven as understanding.
And that becomes love's expression.
Yes. Always.
Extending out.
Everything.
Yeah.
Even the faults.
Even the what?
The faults. The call for love is still love.
Yeah.
Okay. So you see, the will of God was always there. Now, as you struggle and you're in pain, now the will of God is that you would return to love. Go to heaven. In your description. Once you get to heaven,
which is understanding. You no longer need correction. You no longer need miracles. You don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't need love. Because
you are.
You are that which you seek. You are love. And you are loving it. So all of this change that we're very busy with now goes away. That's, I think, what you're describing.
Yeah. Well, that was just nuts. I was reading a walk with and he made these things. I go, well, talking about this ends, but then he talked about the will. He used the word will twice, and one, this type of will went away, and this one was still there, kind of like. I couldn't quite, if I had the point, I'd show it to you, but I can't remember where it is.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah. And some of Ken's early teachings were a bit academic and jarry that way.
As he gets a little further, he changes the words. He tells us about that.
He does. Yeah.
But I can see why they do it, because it makes it easier for people starting to understand it. Because the advanced stuff is a little more difficult after you.
Yeah.
When you realize, oh, that's different from that, I can see why.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's true. A lot of
pretty cool stuff, though.
A lot of big changes coming.
Yeah. Well, then what happens? So we're in heaven.
Yes.
And we got the understanding, and we're with God.
Yes.
And how do we end up back here? Boom. We're right back. Ego.
Yeah. Well, when...
Tell me how it's going to be.
Here's how it's going to be. It's the story of the prodigal son. You remember that from the Bible? Do you read that? You ventured out thinking you had a better way. You know what Dad said? Okay, I'm going to send you out. Let's take half of everything I own, because I have two sons, and you get it. And I wish you well. Because this is what you want. I love you so much. Off you go. Didn't work out so much, so good. And you start getting hungry for home. You thought, you know what? I had it pretty good there. In fact, I think that's the only place I ever felt any peace or rest or even a good meal. So you go back home. A little trepidation, you're a little worried. In fact, you're a little afraid. You won't be accepted because you were such a little beep when you left. But what happens? Arms open wide. We're going to party that Bridget has come home. This is the best day I could have possibly imagined, says your father. Thank you for coming home. Let's celebrate that you are home. All this love just keeps pouring out. And you're like, I'm not going back to those pigs that I found in the village. You know, that was horrible being alone and without the love of my family. It was so weak. And just me alone was a joke. Me with a family is great. I'm home. When you return to heaven, you recognize that which you are, the extension of love, and you get back into creating as an extension instead of a separation. That happens. And it's very fulfilling. And you can now embrace your abundance and your grandeur. There's no going back. So you don't come back. You haven't been there yet. Since you're not home yet. Since you ventured out, you didn't go home and then come back and then go home and come back. You were not vacillating.
Yeah, when you're there, you're there. That's it. It's over with. Disappears.
Yeah, let me give you another example. You don't undo that. You don't do. If I throw out the concept to you when you were a child, and I said, okay, Bridget, there's this mathematical concept called square root. You're like, what? What does that have to do with plants? I thought we were doing math. Isn't that how it starts out? Very foreign. Square root. What square root? No, just hang on. Let me explain it. Let's write it out. I'll give you a few examples. One number times itself is another number. This is what we're talking about. It's called the square root. You start to understand what I'm saying, even though you don't like the words, maybe. But I say, I've been teaching you the square root of 9 is 3. 3 times 3 is 9. Every single time. It's a law. What do you call it? Square root. You start to accept this truth. Now if I ask you the square root of 16,
even though we've never discussed it. You understand the principle of what we're describing. You do not go back from knowing square root. It doesn't undo. The truth of your freedom and your power as a creator does not undo. You can deny it, but you can not know it. You can't actually forgive the truth. So don't worry about this being that heaven was undone somehow. No. You're getting what you're thinking. You're getting what you're thinking here. When you decide to wake up from this dream, you can have another dream, but it won't be the same one. Because you will wake up from it. You are growing as a child of God, by the way. Very important to recognize this, too. There's so much to cover in the last 5 minutes. But you are growing as a child of God. You are an extension of God. You are not God. You're 100% God. There's nothing else to be but God. But you are not God. You're a child of God. And you are growing in your awareness of all the gifts that have been given you. You will not go back to asking what square root is. Especially not after tonight. Otherwise I'll spank you.
So I just got a concept, I think, if I got it right, so I'd like to check.
Okay.
So you're the prodigal son, you decide I'm gonna go home and you do whatever it needs to do in order to get to God.
Yes.
And in the book says God takes the last step.
Yes.
I'm getting the last step is his saying, welcome home.
Yes.
All is forgiven.
I don't think God ever condemns. I don't think God condemns.
Yeah, but forgiven means released. If you're a good Course in Miracles student, all is released.
Oh, okay.
You release it, not God.
Yeah.
All is released by you.
Yeah, and at that point, then God says, you're welcome home.
Yeah. And you hear it. God takes the last step because the truth is true. It's obvious. Just like real forgiveness is not something you work on, it's presented as freedom. Real forgiveness is not a struggle. It's presented as the truth. That's the correction, see? That when it really hits home, it's relaxing because it's true. It relieves a burden that once was. That's what the truth is like. Yeah, there's no going back. No going back. You can play with denial, and I think you have some of that with old friends. You go back, you move beyond certain patterns of behavior, maybe. You went and visit some old friends. Like me, I will visit some friends I haven't seen for a long and I'll start swearing like we used to swear when we were riding motorcycles as teenagers, because that was the right thing to do. But I'm like, wow, it's not me anymore.
I can't imagine that, Andrew.
Isn't that crazy?
I just can't see that. I've never heard him say one.
I could.
Yeah, we used to.
You're a motorcycle guy.
Motorcycle. We tried dirt bikes in high school, dirt bikes, and drink beer and swear.
I didn't get to do that until I was like 20. My dad wouldn't let me near him. He knew what happened.
All right, well, did we finish that paragraph?
Motorcycles are fun, though.
We read it all and you summarized it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, it really speaks for itself. Okay. I move my marker to paragraph 5. Let's have a circle. That was pretty aggressive there in the last paragraph. Take a deep breath. Okay, once again, it's the good news and the bad news. Oh, shucks. There are laws that you're under. There are laws. As you give, you receive this law, and you've been living by it your whole entire life. And sometimes this law will corner you and make your life miserable because you gave some misery, see? Mm-hmm. So then you believed in some misery, so you got the misery that you were giving. In the same situation, you look at it with understanding,
You look at it with love, which seems like, you know, maybe I'll understand first and then I'll seek to be understood. That's kind of like love, isn't it? Well, that's, you'd have to have those thoughts. We could live under the same laws. As you give, you receive. You give some understanding, you get some understanding. So seek no further than your own thoughts. It's the good news and it's the bad news, because some of your thoughts really suck, huh? Mm-hmm. But they don't have to. Seek for the love that's in you and you will find it. I promise. Thank you. See you Sunday. Amen. Mm-hmm.